Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Coming up on show 555, the cheat within a cheat. Which is the quickest growing brand in Germany? We'll find out, and we'll jump on board the e-dumper. Plus, on today's show, we're talking a sixth ID car. I know. Also, we'll talk Standard Range Plus Model 3, a new campaign from Electrify America, the Mercedes plug-ins that are coming from the A and the B class, and if you're in the market for a small city car, Fiat's got your back. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to the show. First one of the week, Monday, 19th of August. Martin Lee here. This is what you missed in the last 24 hours of EV News. Thank you very much to MyEV.com for helping make this show. They have indeed built the world's first marketplace all about electric vehicles. They have demystified the buying and selling process because they connect you with the person that you really need to speak to. And they'll help you learn along the way as well. Welcome to a new executive producer. That is you, Colin Hennessy. Colin, thank you very much for signing up at the $10 a month. Some people give more, but $10 a month makes you an executive producer of the show. And thank you so much for your support. By the way, if you are curious as to how my weekend of sailing went, I'll tell you at the end of the show, because you listen to this for the EV news, not my stories, but it didn't go very well. I'll tell you at the end. Let's get on to the news, and Volkswagen's Dieselgate software might not be completely fixed. An email from one of my listeners called Chris Hopkins. Now, Chris says, you'll probably have seen this by now, as I know that you review Teslarati, but just in case, here's the summary, like the TLDR version. The software fix has another cheat in it based on temperature. Well, in a recent decision, a district court in Düsseldorf in Germany has declared that Volkswagen's software fix for vehicles affected by its Dieselgate emissions cheating scandal that broke in 2015 actually contained another cheating device, writes Simon at Teslarati today. According to the findings of the Düsseldorf District Court, Volkswagen's Dieselgate fix was intended to ensure the emissions of vehicles affected by the scandal were appropriately controlled. Unfortunately, it turned out that the exhaust gas cleaning system in the update only worked at the outside temperatures of 10 to 32 degrees Celsius. Well, in the event that the weather falls below or above this range, that cleaning remains disabled, allowing the affected vehicles to overly pollute as before. And as noted in the Wall Street-online.de report, the repercussions of the court decision could well be explosive. I should add, by the way, that what you can say in America and what you can say in Europe about Dieselgate are indeed very different things. In America, the laws were in place to mean that Volkswagen actually did something wrong. And although this is very overly simplistic, here in Europe, whilst I owned a VW Blue Motion Golf at the time of Dieselgate, went back, had the fix put in, I didn't get any money for that. I didn't get them offering to buy back the car. I got no compensation because VW did nothing wrong. There was nothing illegal they were doing. Some people would say, well, that's the lawmaker's fault for not actually putting the law in place for them to break. But I guess nobody thought, what company would actually do this? Well, it turns out pretty much all car makers in one degree or another have been trying to game the system. And maybe VW were the first ones to get caught, but they certainly weren't the last. I'll put a request into VW for comment. I just can't find any comment from their press office online today, whether they have made comment on this, whether they've refuted it, whether they've just left it without comment so far. From the original source article, in the case number AZ70166/18, the case is about a VW Tiguan diesel with the engine EA189TH. The vehicle with the Volkswagen, this is the Google Translate, by the way. The vehicle Volkswagen offered software update removes unauthorized shutdown device, according to the company, but actually turned out now in the process that VW used the software update, so-called thermal windows, to ensure the exhaust gas cleaning works only at the outside temperature of 10 to 32 degrees Celsius. If it's warmer or cooler, the exhaust gas cleaning remains switched off. And certainly in this country, it's below 10 degrees Celsius an awful lot of the time, especially even on a spring or an autumn day. For 9 months of the year, when you actually start your car in the morning, there's every chance that it is, well, it might get above 10 degrees that day, but it's going to be pretty cold in the mornings, at least in this country. Like I say, we will give Volkswagen the right to reply and are accusing them of nothing apart from doing the fix according to the rules of which were available. As far as I know, they've done nothing wrong. It may well be a cheat within a cheat, but I think they were either pre-allowed to do this temperature control, or it's something that they applied for along the way and were allowed to do. So it's not as if they've done anything underhand. You just probably didn't realise that, well, they were given permission for the reasons of protecting the engine. So they were like, we don't want our customers' engines to wear out prematurely, so they were allowed to do this. As far as I know, if you can put me straight on anything, please do email me. hello@evnewsdaily.com for comment on any of the stories that I put out. Well, so far this year, Tesla sales, well, new car registrations, which is different to sales, new car registrations in Germany amounted to 6,816. That makes Tesla the quickest growing brand in the country. The growing rate of 405% over the year so far is out of reach of any established manufacturer, says Inside EVs. The reason behind a great result is, of course, the Model 3. That was responsible for 5,800 of the 6,800 registrations, compared to last year, when it was, of course, zero. The Model S and the X were 1,000, 25% less than a year ago. A bit like when I started this podcast, when I had 10 listeners and it became 20, I had an amazing rate of growth. Of course, for a long time, the listeners were zero. I'll pop a link in the show notes if you want to read more. Staying with Volkswagen, who I mentioned a moment ago, the VW Group plans to build 27 different EV models across its brands by the year 2022, on its way to building 10 million EVs on its platform, the MEB platform. It requires quite a ramp-up of resources, and the VW brand has many more new ideas and designs they want to release as concept cars, says Green Car Reports. So far, the ID, the ID Cross, ID Buzz, ID Vision, ID Rooms concepts are confirmed or hinted at as being production bound. Of those, the ID 3 is in production. Trouble is, you can't get it in the USA. And I'm sure that there'll be people in the comments section going, oh, what a surprise. VW have released another concept. I do see where those people are coming from, by the way. They have to, in a way, because they've got so many investors and so much on the line, they have to talk constantly about what they will be doing, and yet that does open them up to criticism of, yeah, but you're not actually doing it, though, are you? You're very good at writing press releases. Kind of catch 22 for them. Some people have no sympathy, though. Well, Tesla has been working on updating its wiring system with a new high-speed architecture that includes more redundancy, which Tesla believes is going to be useful with the advent of self-driving, writes Electrek. The project has been revealed in a new patent application that Tesla made earlier this year and was released by the patent office last week. It's called the High-Speed Wiring System Architecture. And what Tesla are doing are creating a wiring system for their cars with a loop that ensures complete redundancy in the case of failure. And that is something that many people will be reassured to hear. With self-driving cars either on the horizon, depending on who you believe, or about 20 years ago, depending on if you believe the naysayers, maybe the truth will be somewhere between those. It's certainly a good thing that car makers are thinking about redundancy, and if we are going to put our lives in the hands of technology, they're doing all the things they can to make sure that those systems are in place, that if one thing fails, then another thing will indeed pick up the slack and keep us safe. Staying with Tesla, after several months of Tesla starting volume deliveries of the Model 3 in Norway, registration stats are now being revealed About the Standard Range Plus version, the SR Plus, according to Inside EVs, have spotted a graph on the website teslastats.no, of course, .no being the websites of Norway. Teslastats.no shows, as of today, there are 26 registrations of the Standard Range Plus, while the core has so far been the long range and the long-range rear-wheel drive, the long-range all-wheel drive, the long-range all-wheel drive performance. According to various sources and the comments, the Standard Range Plus version arrived in other markets in Europe. And I'm surprised to hear that, so I put that on the podcast today to show that, well, I thought they were being delivered already. Certainly the people who I know in this country who have ordered and have seen pictures on Twitter of their brand-new Tesla Model 3s over the last 7 days, maybe 10 days, mostly 7 days. A few of my friends I knew were buying Standard Range Plus, and when they posted pictures to say, I've got my car, I just assumed that Standard Range Plus deliveries were on scale everywhere around Europe, but well, by the sounds of it, not. Here's a story that's done the rounds. 110 tonnes heavy when fully loaded and powered by a 4.5-tonne all-electric battery. The e-dumper dump truck prototype is the largest EV in the world. Now, I know I reported on this many, many months ago, probably over a year ago. I think it was when I first started the podcast, January last year. So I know I've been talking about the e-dumper since then. I brought it up again when it hit the news. And for some reason, in the last couple of days, my listeners have been emailing me this story to say, wow, look at this. And also because they, you know, they weren't aware of it. And, you know, I've picked up a lot of listeners along the way. And also a lot of websites, the big ones that report on EVs as a job, they've all been going with this story and making no reference to, yeah, did this a year ago. So I don't know where it's come from. I don't know what press release put it back in the inboxes of journalists. But here we go. It's produced by Kuhn Schweiz. The truck is operating on a mountainside quarry in Switzerland, capable of delivering 60 tons of lime and marl, according to CNN, through a process that CNN describes as regenerative braking. That'll be a new one on you and I. The e-dumper's EV motor goes into reverse when the driver hits the brake or releases the accelerator. Wow, what cunning technology. Witchcraft is this? Releasing electricity that can be restored to the battery. The heavier the load, the stronger the regen, and the more electricity that can be recovered. I've even seen some articles say it's the dump truck that never needs to be recharged. I've read other articles, like the CNN article, that said they left at 90%, and came down at 88%. They lost 2% doing a whole round trip, because you go up the quarry with rocks and then it's bringing rocks down. So you go up somewhere with an empty truck and then they're taking rocks down a hill, and then they're using the regen, so they're really barely using anything. I think that's the essence of this story. But I will give a gold star and 5 points to the person who emailed me to say, wow, this is a self-charging hybrid. Almost. It is a bit like when people complain to Toyota on Twitter, and I see occasionally when the poor people who have to sit on Toyota's social media, I do feel for them, have to justify the company position. And they go, no, the car is genuinely, our hybrids are self-charging because, you know, they've got a battery inside. And like I always say, well, you know, if you buy a Prius and park it at the top of a hill and then only ever drive that car once and your destination is the bottom of the hill, well, I mean, technically, it is self-charging. I mean, then you've just got to dump the car because you can't get back up the hill without putting some fossil juice inside it. Let's do a couple more stories. Let's talk about Electrify America launching the newest brand neutral marketing campaign. It's called Normal Now, and the multifaceted digital campaign is kicking off nationwide with a new website, normalnow.com. Online videos, TV ads, digital banners, social media ads, paid search, and even podcast. Goodness me, is podcast taking off? Who'd have thought it? The Normal Now campaign aims to introduce and normalise zero-emission vehicles for the vast majority of Americans who are not aware of or who have ever considered switching to a zero-emissions vehicle. And if anyone from Electrify America is listening to this podcast and they want to throw a few marketing dollars my way, happily take their sponsorship. If you want to sponsor some podcasts, well, hey, You know who to ask. Through some videos, some GIFs, some still images, the campaign draws comparisons between what was once considered new technology, cell phones, smart watches and online dating, what is assuredly the transportation method of the future. Well, the campaign explores how scary previous technology used to be at first, when we first got a microwave. What do we do with this? Just like EVs were scary at first, but, you know, they're normal now.com. Let's talk Mercedes-Benz, and they're bringing their third-generation plug-in hybrids in the A and the B class to market. The A250 and the A250e Saloon can be ordered. The B250 is going to start in a few weeks' time, says Electrive. The new plug-in hybrid models are going to be launched later this year. What's the battery? Well, it's 15.6 kilowatt hours, and you can plug them in to do between 56 and 69 kilometres of pure electric driving. In fact, I saw someone put on Twitter today a picture where they opened up the charging flap after these cars being announced. Inside, a CCS connector. That is probably overkill unless these cars can charge at 50 kilowatts plus. Typical plug-in hybrids can only charge at 3, 6, 7 maybe kilowatts if you're really, really lucky. Probably going to be about 3.3, 3.6 kilowatts for your average plug-in hybrid car, which, of course, if they are on a rapid charger, and we know that the infrastructure, there's not many rapid chargers out there in the grand scheme of things, plug-in hybrid drivers can, if they're paying per kilowatt hour, can just sit on a rapids up to 90 minutes in the case of the Polar chargers before you get fined in this country. Blocking the charger, it's not the most polite thing to do. And what do you think of that, of putting a CCS plug on a plug-in hybrid? I do gather that that CCS plug won't be in every market. No, personally, I would rather they just put an AC Type 2 on a plug-in hybrid, because that car is going to be, it's got an engine for emergencies. It's going to be charged overnight. If you've got a plug-in hybrid, it's going to be charged overnight at home or at work. In nearly all cases, okay? In which case, put an AC Type 2 plug on it and be done with it. None of your DC fast charging on these cars, in my humblest of opinions. Right, final story today. Fiat's reporting that it's gearing up for a broader electrification initiative with several EV and plug-in models for Europe. The Italian firm's approach is combining small cars with electric motors, says Inside EVs. The starting point is going to be the new Fiat 500 electric. This is not the Fiat 500e. That was a compliance car sold in the US, I think just California, but maybe some other ZEV states, and it was a massive loss maker for every car that they sold, but it was a compliance car. No, the Fiat 500 electric is going to be on the market in the second quarter of 2020. Now, according to Autocar, the renewal plan includes 5 electric or plug-in models. Fiat's main Miafiori plant in Turin in Italy is going to produce up to 80,000 EVs initially, so that number is suggesting that it'll be more than just one model. They won't make 80,000 of the Fiat 500 electric, so several models to make up that 80k number. Let's get on to our question of the week this week, set actually by one of the listeners. Brian C sent me this. Petrol users pay by quantity. EV drivers should also pay by quantity. All charging companies must be required by law to charge per kilowatt hour. No connection fees, no time-based fees. Do you agree or disagree? Send me your thoughts. My email is hello@evnewsdaily.com. Leave a comment on Facebook and YouTube. Okay, I will quickly update you then on how I am. The answer is not great. I did mention that I was missing a local EV meetup on Sunday yesterday for a pretty middle-class reason. I was going sailing. All right, for some. I live in a harbour, and I was sailing around the harbour over the weekends and on my own. I turned the boat and I slipped and I cracked my rib on the side of the boat. Didn't hurt too, it hurt at the time, but I carried on sailing for the day and took a couple of paracetamol, some ibuprofen later in the day, had a bit of muscle pain. And however, I woke up this morning ready to drive to London. Normally I bounce out of bed at 6 o'clock in the morning, grab a shower and hit the road. I'm afraid today didn't make it out of bed, didn't make the shower, and haven't gone anywhere today. I can sit upright in this position to record a podcast, but knowing that I have to now walk from the end of my garden back into the house can take me 10 minutes. Like, I'm shuffling along, I can't bend over, sharp shooting pain, I've not been to the hospital for an x-ray yet. I've either broken a rib or I've just torn a muscle or something really stupid. Hopefully tomorrow, I'll be fine tomorrow. Get a good night's sleep tonight, I'll be all right. Right, thank you very much to 236 patrons of the podcast. You keep me going. If you want to see what it's all about, you can check out Patreon. Just do /EVNewsDaily. Phil Roberts from Electric Future, Brad Crosby and Avid Technology, my premium partners of this show. There are 554 previous episodes online. Get the new shows first and free and automatically by hitting subscribe in your podcast app. Come and say hi on the socials by searching EV News Daily. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you for the news recap tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging e-dumper.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.